Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. It's Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. Always, as always, laboring for you. Our 12th consecutive Labor Day celebration. And if it's Labor Day, I'm going to be right here broadcasting live just for you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This is our Labor Day show. We're going to be talking about the history of Labor Day and maybe some things you didn't know about Labor Day. And if you've been listening to my show for very long, we're going to talk about some things that you know because we've talked about them before, but maybe you forgot about them. For example, did you know that Labor Day began as an idea in the mind of one person who cared greatly for this very important segment of the marketplace? You probably didn't know that, did you? But the problem is we don't know who that one person was. That's been debated for years. Some records indicate it was machinist and Central Labor Union official Matthew McGuire. He was reputed to have been the first to suggest a day to honor the working man. There are other references to a guy named Peter McGuire. They spell their name, you know, they're not related. They spell their names completely different, Peter and Matthew. But Peter was a co-founder of the American Federation of Labor, some people think he's the father of Labor Day. McGuire is said to have first proposed the honoring of, quote, those who from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur we behold, unquote. But regardless of the paternity of Labor Day, honoring those who labor, such a day was first celebrated on a Tuesday, September the 5th, 1882. Remember that date, that's important. September 5th, 1882, in New York City, by members of the CLU, that Central Labor Union that Matthew McGuire founded, and they took an unpaid day off, to demonstrate solidarity. Is that kind of like a strike, I guess, maybe? And, of course, have picnics. The event was repeated a year later as the CLU urged labor organizations and other cities to celebrate a working man's holiday on the first Monday in September. The idea caught on, as you probably remember, and it spread quickly. New York introduced the first government bill for an official Labor Day, but they got beat by Oregon, who, in terms of it being signed into law, Oregon did that first. And by 1890, more than two dozen states had adopted an official Labor Day, still only at the state level, though. If it hadn't been for a major labor strike and the self-interest of politicians, does that sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? Who knows how long it would have been before Labor Day became a federal holiday? Now, think about this, folks. Go back in time. I wish I could do this. Somebody's maybe have already done this. We'll ask Bert Folsom about this when he joins us in the next half hour. How many of the things that we have were purely done for political expediency for politicians, not because it was the right thing to do for the people? Because in 1894, that was an election year. That was also the year that there was an ugly strike waged by employees of the Pullman Company, the makers of those railroad sleeper cars. Remember those? In 1880, founder George Pullman built a utopian town around his factory in Illinois called, you guessed it, Pullman, Illinois. Hard by to Chicago, Pullman, Illinois was a real company town. Company store, company housing, even a company bank upon which Pullman employees' payroll checks were drawn and from which the checks were the company store provisions and rent for their housing was deducted from those checks from that bank, that company bank. So it was kind of a little ecosystem there, wasn't it? Everything operated with almost utopian efficiency until 1893. When a national depression caused orders for Pullman cars to drop, so some employees had to be cut loose. Some had to be, their pays were cut. Some were actually laid off. This 19th century downsizing produced a can of worms, as you can imagine, because how can you deduct company housing rent from an employee's check where there isn't one. Think about that. This is how utopia breaks down, folks. So when you got people who sound like they're trying to create utopia, it just doesn't work. And George Pullman figured that out after a while. So the strike that happened as a result of all this was so ugly that the President Cleveland, Grover Cleveland, declared it a federal crime. Think about this now. The president stepped in and declared this strike a federal crime and sent 12,000 troops to break it up. This is a run-up, folks. This is all building towards a national labor day. This is the president. Now, he's made a mistake here, I think. I think he probably figured out that he did. But he sent 12,000 troops, and the strike ended August 3rd, 1894, but not before significant property damage, and two people were killed, and many were put in jail. The heavy hand of the federal government is what caused that, wasn't it? But 1894, as I said, was an election year. President Cleveland and Congress needed to make amends with the working class for their heavy-handedness. Now remember, this was at the height of the industrial age for the United States. We were really creating our positions in the world as an industrial power, and so we had a much more organized, a much more a labor force that was much more aware of itself and aware of its power. And so consequently, because it was an election year, because of this heavy-handedness, legislation was pushed through both houses at record speed. Think about this, folks. Six days after the troops broke the Pullman strike, President Cleveland signed a bill that made the first Monday in September Labor Day a federal holiday, including the District of Columbia and all of the territories. Think about that, folks. In 6 days, he overreacted to the Pullman strike. There was a big uproar over it, and so all that had been going on a state level now culminated, and it was simply done just to save the election for all the politicians, not just Democrats, not just Republicans, for all of them. In 1898, Samuel Gompers, then head of the American Federation of Labor, called Labor Day the day for which the toilers in past centuries looked forward, when their rights and their wrongs would be discussed, that the workers of our day may now lay down their tools of labor for a holiday, but upon which they may touch shoulders in marching phalanx and feel the stronger for it. That was the birth of Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen, and there is the reason. When we come back, I want to talk about another kind of a day that we don't actually have. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. We're talking about Labor Day, folks. I just got through giving you a little tour of about the birth of Labor Day, the origins of Labor Day, and what came about, how it came about as a natural, that's not a hard word to say, is it? A natural occurrence, a natural development by the labor movement of the United States. That was all natural, that kind of a response. But to make it a federal holiday was pretty political, which is to say unnatural. Most things political are kind of unnatural in the natural world, and so. There you have it. There's the real reason why we have a national holiday. It was pushed through and signed in 6 days. Think about that. So we have all that, but guess what we don't have, ladies and gentlemen? You know, we have millions, tens of millions of employees in America. But did you know that we also have millions of people who employ those workers? That's right, we do. And we have about 8 million companies in the United States that are small businesses that have employees. There are about 25 million small businesses, but only about 8 million actually have employees, companies like mine, a little company with employees, and then all the way up to companies with dozens and maybe even a few hundred employees or small businesses in America. But guess what? We have a day to honor our employees, and I'm happy about that. That's good. But there is no day, no single day, set aside as our labor brethren have set aside for business owners. Why is that? There's no single small business day officially decreed by the U.S. government. No Entrepreneurs Day set aside to honor the few who do so much for so many. A day when everyone gets off to picnic and party down in honor of the what I consider the real heroes of the marketplace. There actually is a Small Business Week. You've heard me talk about that many times. I've been celebrating it. Now, we've already had our 12th Small Business Week celebration here on the Small Business Advocate Show. The U.S. Small Business Administration picks a week each year, usually in April or May, to recognize those who've been chosen as at the state level as the creme de la creme of entrepreneurs in America. Plus, the unofficial Labor Day events of the 1880s, like those days, I should say, there are Small Business Weeks conducted by chambers of commerce in cities across the country. But those dates are random, and the festivities are parochial, and so there's no national moment, no national day that's always on the calendar like there is on Labor Day. So if we're ever going to have a National Entrepreneurs Day, we're going to have to convince the government that it's, and as you know, that's easier said than done. Small business has many champions in Congress, but there's way too much indifference, disregard, and in some cases, incredibly blatant disrespect and disdain by politicians for those of us who sign the front of over 70 million paychecks every Friday. Ask a politician to get excited about a small business in his or her district getting an award, and you might get a favorable response, but you might not. You know why I know that? Because I've done that for years. I have experience in that area. I've asked politicians to get excited about a member of their community getting an award, and sometimes they would be excited and help celebrate that, and sometimes they wouldn't. Yes, that's true. But if you want to be in the one place where you know you can find a member of Congress, check the district's Labor Day celebration. The only thing more guaranteed than picnics and barbecues on Labor Day is the appearance of the members of the political class as they kiss baby's glad hand and generally just suck up to the leaders and the rank and file of local unions. So what's wrong with this picture? Today, unions represent less than, you know, only about 7 or 8% of all U.S. workers. That's a historic low. Small businesses, on the other hand, number, as I say, in the millions, and our numbers are increasing by almost a million a year. We currently represent 98% of all businesses, create over half of all innovations, employ 60% plus of all workers, and produce over half of the U.S. gross domestic product. Think about that, folks. And on Labor Day, we give about 70 million workers a day off. So let's see. Big deal on Labor Day, no Entrepreneurs Day. As I said a minute ago, folks, what's wrong with this picture? Why can't we have a national celebration day? I think it should be in August. I think we should have it. It should be in August because the politicians are already in town. And in August, they could be preparing. They could be practicing for their Labor Day festivities. But it also should be in August on a Sunday, because that way that would cost small business owners the least payroll. Because that's another reason why, you know, a lot of small business owners haven't pushed for it, for their own day off, because it would just cost us money, right? Think about it, folks. Small Business Day. We need one of those. Going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back with Bert Folsom, Dr. Bert Folsom. Happy Labor Day.
I woke up in a Soho store where a policeman knew.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.